This is the homily for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2024, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the first book of the prophet Samuel, chapter 3, verses 3 to 10 and 19. The first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 13 to 15 and 17 to 20. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
With Advent and Christmas now behind us, the Church today continues in clunky language, ordinary time. There's nothing ordinary about the faith, but this is what the Church gives us. The Sunday after Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus. We celebrated that last week. Then the following day is Monday of the first week of ordinary time, which is to say that this Sunday is not the first Sunday in ordinary time, but the second Sunday in ordinary time. Confusing, no? We are living in confusing times, aren't we? But in every age, this has always been the case. Sinful humanity thinks it's better. It is better and has no need for a God who allows for suffering in the world. And Dostoevsky, in his book, The Brothers Karamazov, The Great Inquisitor, for those of us who are familiar with it. It's a great story where Jesus is arrested by a cardinal. The cardinal who arrests Jesus says that free will is too dangerous. The cardinal in the story takes place, or the story takes place during the Inquisition in Spain. The cardinal has Jesus arrested because he believes that a dominant church instilling fear into the faithful is needed to keep the faithful in line. But that has never been the plan for God, who humbled himself to become one of us. Yes, we are to have a fear of the Lord, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But this fear is not to be afraid of God, but to be in awe of the majesty and power and the goodness of God. This is because our Lord God wants us to be in dialogue with him and to have a personal relationship with him. Today's first reading from the book of Samuel is chapter 3, the calling of Samuel. And our passage begins in verse 3 that says, Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. What we don't get in today's reading is verse 1. How the boy Samuel was serving the Lord in the presence of Eli. In those days it was rare for the Lord to speak. Visions were uncommon. Eli was a prophet of the Lord who was training young Samuel. Eli knew the Lord, and Samuel knew about the Lord. He told Samuel to say this the third time that he was called. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the detail of the ark is important because that is where the very presence of the Lord was to be found. God had been silent because, as verse 1 says, it was rare for the Lord to speak. Visions were uncommon. And we must remember that in our first reading of the book of Samuel, it was roughly 1,000 years before Christ. So God communicated differently to his people then than he does to us today. Remember also in the book of Kings, with Elijah, God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. God was in a still, soft voice. Today, God calls to Samuel. How exactly? We don't know. The text simply says, the Lord called to Samuel, who answered, here am I. This is difficult for us to wrap our heads around because we want to hear the voice of God speaking to us. How do we hear God's voice? Benedict Rochelle, the founder of the Capuchin Franciscans of Renewal, was a trained psychologist and wrote a book, came out in 1993, on private revelation entitled A Still Small Voice, A Practical Guide on Reported Visions, Revelations. In our age where everything is instant coffee, instant news, instant gratification with a few taps on my smartphone, we want access to God to be immediate and instant. And the trap is to take shortcuts. But Grishel's book directs the reader to a humbler and safer path, which discerns God's presence in prayer, scripture, the sacraments, and love of neighbor. His great example of this path to holiness is none other than the youngest doctor of the Church, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, who, though having very few extraordinary experiences, was filled with a profound awareness of God's presence and said, "To ecstasy, I prefer the monotony of sacrifice." The monotony of sacrifice. And that is what sustains the mature Christian, who knows better than to look for shortcuts on the spiritual path each of us must walk if we say that we are disciples of Jesus. Which brings me now to today's gospel. The passage is taken from the first chapter of John. And interestingly, because we are in year B, we get the second time John the Baptist says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. This was actually a new detail for me because I always use the first time, John 1:29. And I teach this to my students. When I was looking at today's passage, I'm like, wait, it's there again? It is, twice. Behold the Lamb of God. Last year, year A, on this second Sunday of Ordinary Time, we got the first time that John the Baptist identifies our Lord as the Lamb of God. In Latin, Ecce Agnus Dei qui tollit peccata mundi. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The next day, which is today's gospel, we hear the same. Behold the Lamb of God. And what does this Lamb of God say? Not a statement, but a question. Our Lord's first recorded words is a question to us. What are you looking for? God designed us for himself and has given us the means to find him, not necessarily in personal visions, but in his word, as the Protestants know to be the case, and in his sacraments, which every time a sacrament is celebrated, eternity breaks into time. What are you looking for? That is the question being asked of each of us this morning. Our Lord is asking us what we want. The disciples of John follow with a question as well. Where are you staying? And then we get the first of our Lord's instructions to his new disciples that John prepared for him. Come and you will see. So at this Mass, as we come once again to be united to our Lord Jesus in word and sacrament, let us hear the Lord asking us the same question. What are you looking for? Our response should be that of Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. To which our Lord Jesus says, come and you will see. Come and you will see. A picture tells a thousand words, and so may we, through the eyes of faith, see the miracle that takes place on this very altar and on all the altars around the world today, where simple bread and wine becomes God himself, Emmanuel, such that we will be saying the same words, that I myself will be saying the same words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is what I think our Lord wants us to see through the words we hear, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, calling us to be in a more intimate union than with him now than we were when we walked in through the doors this morning. We are all like Samuel, who needs someone like Eli to teach us. The same for Andrew and the other disciple whom John prepared for the Messiah's arrival. Now John makes him known. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus now takes these first disciples to show them that the time of waiting is over. Today is the day of salvation. At this Mass, and as we begin the long trek of ordinary time, may we avoid the traps of the shortcuts presented to us in our instant age. With our Lord's help, may we walk the safer path which discerns God's presence in Scripture, the sacraments, and love of neighbor. The more we do this, the more our Lord will be present to us, and the more at peace we will be, as Saint Therese teaches us. The closer I get to Jesus, the closer everybody around me does. Come, Lord Jesus, that we might continue to learn from you, now and forever. Amen.